Hi, everybody. Happy Monday. Glad you could join us today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you on Fantasy Sports Today Live.
Live.
on the Fantasy Sports Network. It is Fantasy Alarm Week.
Yes.
And we're excited to kick things off with one of our favorites, Howard Bender. And then Drew Dinkmeyer joins us. We are DFS heavy, NFL DFS heavy today. We're going to talk about a lot of the same names, which will be interesting because we're going to get two different takes. So you'll get probably a devil's advocate point of view and maybe a popular opinion. We'll see, and then you can make your own decision based on all the information.
It's going to be a heavy DFS week here. The pricing's already out on FanDuel and on DraftKings. We'll get Pat Mayo a little bit later on in the week to stock some values, and Drew Dinkmeyer, he's won $1 million before. We're going to get the inside scoop on how to do that because we want to make you rich at home.
But first, Jerry Jones goes, Tony Romo, he's fine. It's not bad.
He's not injured at all. Don't worry about it.
He's okay, but instead, he broke his back. His back is broken, to quote one Mike Tyson. It's not spinal. It's his L1 vertebrae, and he's going to be out for a significant amount of time. Best case scenario, a week 7 return.
Yes, that was the Dallas Morning News, I believe. They said best case after that bye week. I mean, we don't want to say I told you so, but Tony Romo getting a little bit older now and banged up. So what does this mean for the whole offense? I think an uptick for Ezekiel Elliott a little bit. I talked about how I liked him over Gordon on Friday. Mm-hmm. That was before, really, we even heard about Romo. Diagnosis, we only thought he was quote-unquote not injured, but he's injured. For Dez Bryant in standard leagues, now I'd rather AJ over him, the big three, and then AJ. Still think he's going to be a touchdown machine. Dak Prescott worked well with Bryant in the limited time. For quarterbacks, if you're looking, and still with Bryant, PPR leagues, I still would rather Hopkins, Evan Robinson. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm probably alone when it comes to Robinson and Evans, but I think they're both going to be beasts this year. Going to get a lot of volume, a lot of work, a lot of targets. Both of those defenses, not fantastic. I think Dallas is going to run the ball a lot this year. They're going to run it ton. For Prescott, I think he's like right around quarterback 19. I think we'll talk about him certainly later on as a DFS play with Drew Dinkmeyer. Going to be just the bare minimum as you see there on DraftKings and on FanDuel and Yahoo if you want to play him against the Giants week one. Great preseason. 7 touchdowns, 78 completion percentage, 2 rushing touchdowns, including those 7 no picks as we talked about. Yep. So I think he's going to be okay, but you know, Dez, that all hurts. You need Romo there.
More yards with less pass attempts than 5 of the top 10 quarterbacks. That's Dak Prescott. That's obviously going to be trouble for me. But they talk about Dallas having a pretty easy schedule in terms of strength of schedule going forward. So we'll see what Drew Dinkmeyer has to say about that.
Sure.
Kenneth Dixon, torn MCL. He's out 4 weeks. Running back for the Baltimore Ravens. He's avoiding surgery, which is good. But in the grand scheme of things, he may be a watch list candidate. That's it. But he's behind Forsett, Allen, West. So it's not really going to change any of your draft boards. It shouldn't be a huge blow to anyone drafted fourth round.
Yeah, unless you did a keeper in a dynasty, you probably drafted him knowing that he's going to be the guy eventually. And you had a really good preseason game before he went down. But yeah, I think this clears things up a little bit. When we had Liz Loza on about the Baltimore Ravens, is just so confusing, that whole backfield. But they're going to throw the ball a lot with Trestman's offense. Forte had 100 catches a couple years ago, with Trestman. So I think Forsett is the guy that you want. I think he's the clear guy. But West is probably going to be that goal line guy. More injury news for running backs. We knew Matt Jones was going to miss, you know, the rest of the preseason with an AC sprain in his shoulder. They're hopeful he can get back week one. Now Keith Marshall has got a sprained elbow, and he's going to miss at least 3 weeks. So now we're looking at Rob Kelly as the lead back in Washington right now, and he's not getting drafted at all. Just did a draft on Saturday, 12-man league, you know, pretty deep, 16 rounds, and he wasn't taken at all. Matt Jones was taken a little bit later on. You want to take this guy? Rob Kelly had 12 carries, 51 yards over the weekend. I think he's fine to take a flyer on because at this point, you could potentially get an RB1 on a team. You know, if Keith Marshall continues to falter, and there's been a lot of down negative reports on this guy, and for whatever reason, if Matt Jones is not ready week one or hurts his shoulder again, all of a sudden you have a guy that could get about 15, 20 touches at least in an offense that's okay in a weak division.
And Benjamin Watson, torn Achilles, also Brandon Oliver, just quick mentions to have on your radar. But let's talk about Delanie Walker because he's someone that's been pretty much ignored in terms of the top tight end conversation this preseason. Yeah. There's not a lot of hype around this guy who's been consistent and been very good the last few years. So he left Saturday's preseason game with trouble breathing. They said he couldn't catch his breath after he took a couple snaps on the field.
It took him about an hour to catch his breath.
So that's concerning. The team says he's fine, but you know, Jerry Jones also said that Tony Romo was fine, and Harbaugh said that Watson was fine. So you know, you got to take these things with a grain of salt, but likely he will be okay, and it shouldn't hurt his value going forward.
No, I think he's going to be fine. Keep an eye on that, though. Maybe news will come out later on today. We are live, so as of right now, we don't really know what's wrong with this guy. A lot of takeaways for me over the weekend. We talked a lot about Funches and Moncrief. Those guys were both good. Moncrief had 8 targets, 6 grabs, right around 50, 60 yards. Devin Funches had 10 targets. He was on the field a lot, got a lot of play. And then Josh Gordon, we have to give some love to Gordon because we wanted to see what this guy could do on the field. A 43-yard catch, a 44-yard catch, won a touchdown from RG3. So it looks, and he looked fantastic, looked super, super fast. We've talked about Terrell Pryor. We're going to talk about Pryor in a little bit. Just with both guys, really, with Drew Dinkmeyer and with Howard Bender. But Gordon just seemed really, really good, and I think it's a steal if you're going to get him in the 5th, 6th round. I took him on the weekend in the 5th round. I think that was good value.
And just before we move on to Reuben Randall, who's been cut by the Eagles, we were talking about being live, and Trevor Siemian is the week one starter for the Broncos, which means now that Tony Romo's down and Dak Prescott is taking the lead in Dallas, Josh McCown is not someone they're pursuing as a backup, but potentially Sanchez could be headed over to Dallas. Yeah. That's something that's been circulating around. So just something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good call.
But Reuben Randall, he gone.
He's done.
So there was a lot of talk about his attitude being horrifying. Yeah. Looks like he has no effort, doesn't care, taking advantage of the fact or taking for granted that he could be on the 52-man roster. Not so much. Dorial Green-Beckham is the one that they brought into Philadelphia after he was cut.
Yeah, and he was just not talked about highly and then traded to Philadelphia.
Traded, yeah.
So this is the thing. Watching on Saturday, he's going to be a red zone option, and that's what he was in Tennessee. He didn't get a lot of catches. I don't expect him to get a lot of catches this year. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he got over 35 catches. I think it could be over under 35 catches for this guy, but I do think that he can flirt with 6 or 7 touchdowns. It's not a stretch because in the red zone, Philadelphia doesn't really have anything, and you could see two looks in the red zone and one's with a touchdown. He's a big, big boy, so he needs to be on your radar just as somebody, maybe a late-round flyer, keeper league, dynasty league. He's really not even getting drafted.
It's just interesting because you mentioned the Philadelphia receiving core isn't that strong, that it's been so bad with Randall that they're willing to cut someone who had almost 800 yards, 8 touchdowns last year with New York, and now he has no team.
But the reports, as we talked about 3 weeks ago, like, this guy couldn't try less. He didn't want to be on the field. He didn't block. He didn't run routes. He just gave up. So it is what it is. Now he's done. He's got to look for a new team.
We're done. For now. We're coming back, though. Howard Bender, Fantasy Alarm, giving us some DFS favorites for the upcoming season. This is Fantasy Sports Today. It's also Fantasy Alarm Week. So to start things off with a bang, Mr. Howard Bender is going to join us and talk about his wide receiver targets in later rounds of your draft. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Ashley. How are you and Chris doing today?
I can't speak for him, but I'm doing wonderfully.
I'm also doing wonderfully. Let's talk some fantasy football. We've yet to do that with you. It's always been about fantasy baseball, even though we're 2 weeks away from fantasy baseball playoff time. We want to know what wide receivers you're targeting. But first, I know you're going to be doing some DFS work over at Fantasy Alarm. What are you going to be doing this year?
I do 2 pieces over at Fantasy Alarm right now. I do the wide receiver targets article, and that's for season long leagues. And then as far as work goes for DFS, I do an article called Wide Receivers Coach.
Okay.
Where basically, I take the top 15 to 20 wide receivers each week. I rank them and I give you my recommendations as far as who to use and who not to use for each week.
Howard, who's crying in the background?
Right, that would be Wheezy. She's a little anxious to get going with the DFS world right now.
Hi, Wheezy. Nice of you to join us. Let's talk about your wide receiver targets. Who do you have a huge crush on this year, Howard? Because it's making me kind of jealous.
My biggest crush, absolutely, for season-long leagues, and it could probably be for DraftKings as well, because it is a PPR format. I absolutely love Sterling Shepard. I really love this guy. I mean, listen, he was dynamic in college. Absolutely a great situation for him. What I usually love about checking out wide receivers right now, especially the younger ones, is where their opportunity lies. And that's the big thing about Sterling Shepard right now. With no Victor Cruz, or at least a very limited Victor Cruz, I happen to think that Shepard is going to be seeing a lot of targets, doing a lot of chain moving for the Giants. Odell Beckham's going to draw those double teams. He's going to draw that extra special coverage. He's going to be a lot deeper in the background there. So, I think that Shepard's going to be a guy who's going to be really on a lot of people's radar. So you might have to reach for him a little bit in your drafts. But overall, I think he's going to be incredibly productive for you.
What about this Browns wide receiver core? We're talking about late round targets. I mean, Josh Gordon is a guy who just went in my draft in the 5th round. We got Corey Coleman there. It's just another rookie. Terrell Pryor's looked pretty good at times as well. RG3 seems to be doing all right. Not the best preseason game this past weekend, but a couple weekends ago, he looked really good moving around. Are you targeting any of these guys? What's your feel on the Browns offense this season?
You know, it's so funny because I've been notorious for hating on Cleveland for a long, long time.
We all have.
And rightfully so, though, right? It's Cleveland. Blah. But, you know, you look at what happened last year, and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and Blake Bortles really made their bones on the garbage time. They played from behind a lot, which forced them to really start chucking the ball around. And I think that this is what you're going to have with the Browns this year. Listen, RG3's got a gun. He does. Mm-hmm. And he's got guys that can be dynamic. So if you're sitting there looking late in your draft and a guy like RG3 is out there on your, you know, available as a backup QB, and then you get a guy like Terrell Pryor, I mean, why wouldn't you take a shot on these guys? Terrell Pryor is, you know, it's very hard for a guy to come in and go from quarterback to wide receiver and really be truly successful right from the onset. He's learned the job on the job, basically. And I think that he's definitely got that potential to really kind of make something happen here. And if the Browns are playing from behind, you know, and Josh Gordon's not even here for the first 4 weeks, why wouldn't you give Terrell Pryor a look in the 14th or 15th round of your draft? He's going to see targets. They're going to be throwing the ball a ton over there. Hugh Jackson has done amazing things with this club so far, and it's just the preseason. So my feeling is that guys like Terrell Pryor, even Corey Coleman to a certain extent, are guys that you're going to want to kind of give a look at if the price is right.
And to echo your sentiments, we had Nathan Zagura on, the senior broadcaster for ClevelandBrowns.com, and he had us ready to draft every single member of the Browns offense, but also confirmed, shocking, that their defense is not good. It's something to be concerned about, so they will be playing from behind. I love how you said opportunity lies for Sterling Shepard. It also sounds like, I don't know, a 1990s box office smash featuring a young George Clooney or something. Opportunity lies. But the same rings true for Mohamed Sanu in his new situation with the Falcons, obviously behind Julio Jones. He had a problem with drop balls, only reeling in about 66% of his passes last year, but his opportunity is going to increase. So is that something that you can live with?
It's definitely something I can live with. Listen, Julio Jones is going to be the guy who's going to garner all the attention. I think Matt Ryan has a better arm and a more accurate arm than Andy Dalton. I think that he's overall a better quarterback. The Falcons did a lot of work to revamp that offensive line to give Matt Ryan more time. So while Julio Jones is going to be a little bit deeper of a threat, he's going to be a heavy red zone target. Again, Mohamed Sanu in a PPR league or even on a site like DraftKings, which is full point PPR, Sanu's going to be a guy who's going to start moving the chains. And again, like I said, yes, it's all about opportunity. And Sanu has that opportunity. If Julio Jones stays healthy, Sanu is going to end up seeing a lot of targets. He had a lot of issues last year in Cincinnati, but that was because A.J. Green was in and out of the lineup. A.J. Green disappeared at certain points during the season. He'd have a great game 1 week, and then he'd vanish for 2 weeks. And that really never gave Sanu a chance to kind of find some consistency over there. So he's another guy that, again, yes, if you're looking 11th round, 12th round, if you're sitting there and you've got your solid 3-4 wide receivers already drafted, Sanu's definitely a guy that you can use as a great bye week filler.
Sanu is wide receiver 52, according to Fantasy Pros, the ECR. Wide receiver 51 is newly signed Tavon Austin to a 4-year deal. Now, I really noticed Tavon Austin last season when Gurley got on the football field. I thought Austin was more involved. It kind of opened things up a little bit for him. Do you think he can continue that this season?
I do, actually. You know, I kind of like Tavon Austin. Listen, he's about the gimmick plays. They like using him for some end-arounds, things like that. Gurley is definitely going to be focused on by the defenses, and it's going to be up to Jeff Fisher to make sure that Tavon Austin is working out of the slot often, that he is getting those, you know, those funky little reverses that they like to do. 10 touchdowns last year. I mean, that's not going to be the greatest thing in the world if you're talking about a PPR league, but you know what? If you time it right in DFS, Tavon Austin is easily a guy who can help you win a couple of weeks. There were 2 weeks last year where if I didn't have Tavon Austin in my lineup, I never would have cashed.
But Fisher said that he thinks that Austin can double his catches. He had 52 last year. Can this guy actually get 100 catches?
I think that's, you know, again, you know, there's so much lip service that comes out of NFL camps right now. I mean, it's really, you know, you kind of have to take a certain amount with a a grain of salt. And I would say roughly 60 to 70% of what comes out of camp is a lot of double talk and a lot of lip service. So 100 catches for Austin, I highly doubt it, but I do still think that he can be a really interesting option in the red zone for the Rams this year.
And one punt return for touchdown in each of his seasons. So you get those little bonuses as well once in a while. Quickly, we have about 30 seconds with all this Tajay Sharp hype. I cannot talk
today. A ton of hype on this guy.
You're making me nervous, Howard, honestly. you like Rishard Matthews, though. It seems as though he's in a situation where there's no obstacles in his way. So whoever decides to step up is going to be the guy.
Listen, Mariota has to throw the ball to somebody. He's been paying a lot of attention to Tajay Sharp. Everybody in your league is going to pay attention to Tajay Sharp. Rishard Matthews already showed when he was with Miami that he can be a deep threat, that he does have decent hands. He can run his routes. I think that he's going to be one of those very much under-the-radar guys that you're going to love having on your bench this year.
Well, Howard, thank you so much. It's lovely to hear from you. To talk about something other than baseball as well. Just mix it up and show how versatile you truly are, my friend.
Right? I'm a triple threat here. I can sing, dance, and act for you.
And you're a hippie, according to the sign in your background.
No.
They use the side door.
They use the side door. Which way is that door? That way? That way? I don't know.
Nobody
knows.
Bye, Howard.
Them all.
Say bye to Wheezy for us.
I definitely will. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Take care, Howard.
All right, coming up next, a different perspective on some of the same cats, and then we're going to talk about a few interesting takes on players from Drew Dinkmeyer, who joins us after this short break.
Millionaire maker.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We're sticking with DFS, but this time looking forward to week one DFS targets. We bring in Drew Dinkmeyer to talk about if he likes some of the guys that are getting a lot of hype this preseason. Hello, Drew. Welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Yeah, we're doing good. Drew, there's no better guy to talk to than you when it comes to DFS NFL, man. You've been very, very successful. Just want to know right off the top your strategy. Has it changed at all since you won $1 million?
You know, the games are getting a little bit tougher as people get more knowledgeable around there. So you certainly have to adapt your strategies each year, and you have to try to identify what things are going to be able to win in tournaments. Also, the field sizes are getting much larger. So things that might work in a tournament with, 60,000 entries might not work in a tournament with 600,000 entries. And so you have to keep evolving as a DFS player around you. So I'm certainly looking at correlations between positions. And last year, something that came up a little bit more frequently was people using quarterbacks and running backs together. Things like that, just trying to consistently analyze play and play around kind of the industry and what's winning games each week.
Well, let's talk about Dak Prescott off the jump, because with the news of Tony Romo being out for a significant amount of time, everyone says preseason doesn't count, but his numbers become a little bit more interesting now that you know he's going to be starting week one. What are your thoughts on him, and what do you think it does to the projection of performance for Bryant, Elliott, as well as Witten, someone that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the effects of Dak relative to Romo. Typically, quarterbacks that can run and pose a threat of running do increase the efficiency of running backs around them. So you would imagine that Ezekiel Elliott, you would already project for a very high yards per carry behind that incredible Dallas offensive line that let Terry McFadden rush for like 4.7 yards per carry last year, should see a slight efficiency boost in terms of his yards per carry efficiency. But the question is, will the overall offense fall? Will they generate fewer scoring possessions? And will that ultimately lead to fewer red zone opportunities and fewer touchdowns for the offense? And that's something that you have to expect, just because Tony Romo has been so successful in the NFL, will likely happen. You've already seen that the game has been taken off the board from a line perspective and come back up a little bit lower on the total with the New York Giants and Dallas Cowboys game. So they are expecting a little bit of a pullback in terms of offensive efficiency. Dak, from a DFS perspective, is really interesting, though, because he's min price on FanDuel at just 5,000. Also min price on DraftKings, though quarterback pricing is a little bit softer over there in general. And a $5,000 quarterback on FanDuel has historically been a very, very strong investment. And especially a player in a game against a very weak opponent defensively in terms of the Giants, with all these offensive skill position players around him, he's a player that I'm looking at heavily as a potential starting quarterback in my week one rosters.
Wow.
And are you concerned at all about ownership? Like, how does your strategy play into that situation? Like, if he's $5,000, I mean, a lot of people are going to take a chance on this guy.
Yeah, I'm not as concerned about ownership, certainly in cash games, obviously. In tournaments, it'll be interesting to see, because the challenge is if you think Dak's going to be highly owned, then it's also going to lead to a very specific set of roster construction, because once you plug in a $5,000 quarterback, you have a lot of room to spend up at wide receiver or running back. So immediately, the studs on the slate, the Antonio Browns, the Todd Gurley, the David Johnson, the Odell Beckham, the Julio Jones, their ownership would rise alongside Dak Prescott's ownership. So if you really feel like the public's going to be on Dak Prescott, which will be an interesting test, because, you know, people that are watching preseason are certainly going to be on him, and Dallas is a pretty popular public team, so that might draw some attention too. But at the same time, he's 5,000. You have to scroll all the way down to find him. It'll be interesting to see.
So Prescott, 5,000. RG3, we talked about earlier. We've been talking about him a lot, Drew, over the past couple weeks. $5,600 on DraftKings. Terrell Pryor, $3,000 on DraftKings. These guys, just bargains. Week one, Cleveland has Philadelphia. Is this a game that you're targeting as well, perhaps?
I think in tournaments, it's an interesting stack right there, because it's so cheap, and we've seen RG3 throughout his career been so successful with the deep ball. Obviously, that's going to be Terrell Pryor's role in the offense early in the season without Josh Gordon available. Certainly, Philadelphia is not going to be the same type of defense you wanted to target as you did last year without Chip Kelly. They're not going to play nearly as fast. And they are actually a pretty talented defense, but an $8,600 pairing between a quarterback and a wide receiver that can hit on a deep ball is very, very intriguing for tournaments.
Let's talk about Marvin Jones. Detroit doesn't necessarily have a clear-cut wide receiver one. They have a ton of options with Tate and Bolden, and then Jones, as I just mentioned. We saw him get a couple red zone targets in the preseason, but what do you make of this receiving core, and out of the three of them, who do you think can be the most successful and the most impactful come week one?
I think the interesting thing, this is an offense that threw the ball 65% of the time last year, and they're playing in a high-paced game, expected to be a high-paced game with Indianapolis. So we're projecting for around 40 pass attempts to Detroit offense. You start to spread that around, and you get lots of volume, even for Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. So I think they're both really interesting. Jones comes with a depressed price tag because he wasn't a featured receiver last year, and I think that depressed price tag is going to make him very, very intriguing. They used Tate in interesting ways around the goal line last year. They have to do that again this year to replace Calvin Johnson. And Marvin Jones figures to pick up a lot of that with Eric Ebron been injured through much of the preseason. I think early in the year, Marvin Jones is going to be a really nice value.
Yeah, $4,600. I believe he's like wide receiver 38 on DraftKings in terms of pricing. Drew, before we get you out of here, we got about a minute. I want to talk about James White. Not getting a lot of talk, really, even though Deion Lewis is not going to be around. He's $3,600 on DraftKings, a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. But are you concerned, especially in the first 4 weeks, without Tom Brady there?
The interesting thing is I was concerned when I saw James White was listed as sort of the fourth running back on the depth chart behind Tyler Gaffney. And obviously White's role as a pass-catching running back is very valuable on DraftKings, where it's a PPR site and the running back pricing for week one is a little tighter in general. So he's a guy that when the Deion Lewis injury news broke, I was really excited about that price tag. But now seeing him a little bit further down the depth chart, I'm sort of wondering where he's going to fit in. He's going to be a tournament-only guy for me unless there's more clarity about his role.
Awesome, Drew. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. Have a great week.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. James White, 3 rush attempts for 2 yards against the Panthers and did not reel in his only target.
Yeah, he's just going to be a guy who catches a lot of balls in the backfield. I do think when Brady's there, he's going to be a monster, though.
Yeah, Brady came in and led 2 scoring drives. Garoppolo did not. We'll see. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're out of here.
Bye.